Good morning! This is author and podcaster Tansy Rayner Roberts from Tasmania, and you are listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'll see you in the future.
Good morning! Welcome to Too Much Scrolling for January 7th, 2020. I'm Steve Fodor.
And I'm not Barbara Walters, Steve.
Just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. This is 2020.
It is. At least 60 Minutes is not showing up at our doorstep.
60 Minutes. 60 Minutes happens so often that it's not a big deal. But 2020, this is something.
Well, I would say that it is a big deal if they show up at your... We'd like to interview you, Steve. You're like, maybe not.
It's not like prime time, right? Remember prime time when they would come to your door?
Ooh, oh, my goodness.
Ooh, you were in trouble then. 2020 was, you know, it's all right. They've got stories.
Well, they do have stories.
We're going to make some in 2020, that's for sure.
Film at 11.
Store film at 11, our movie of the week. You know what, Chip? I can breathe a little easier. Doctor Who is back on the TV in 2020.
Who?
Yes. Absolutely right.
Who?
Yes. Doctor Who premiered on New Year's Day. Boy, did they show us what they could do with this storyline, with these characters. The first episode, Spyfall Part 1, is a cinematic episode of this TV show.
And so tell us a little bit about it, because you waited over a year to see this episode,
exactly,
right?
Exactly 1 year. The last episode of Doctor Who was on New Year's Day 2019. The new episode, New Year's Day 2020. This is a spy-based story for this episode. This is a James Bond homage. The music is very, very well done and very James Bond-ish.
Lots of martinis, lots of caviar, and lots of tuxedos.
The tuxedos are fantastic. They get dressed up in their tuxedos, the whole fam, and this new guy, O, is his MI6 name. You know about MI6?
I do not, Steve.
Okay, so the spy ring in the United States is the CIA, right?
Yes.
Those are our spies. Those are our ones that infiltrate other places. Mm-hmm. The FBI does investigations. The CIA is in charge of intelligence. In England, it's MI6. So they are the ones who are the James Bond of the crew, and they all go by letters. C is the person in charge of MI6.
C is for cookie,
and that's an actual thing in actual MI6, is the leader of MI6 is referred to as C.
You might cooking. Know. You That's might, good enough for me, Steve.
You might know Q from the 007.
I do know Q.
Q is the guy in charge of all of the gadgets and mm-hmm. things that the spy is going to need for their mission. In the case of this episode, it's actually C who is giving the gadgets, but there is definitely that Q moment where he is explaining these gadgets to the crew from Doctor Who. C in this episode is played by Stephen Fry.
Is it really?
Yes. The Stephen Fry, who you would know from all sorts of British things for the last 30 years.
Well, he read the Harry Potter books if you were in Britain.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right. All right. He was the voice of the book in the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy movie. Mm-hmm. He was in Blackadder with all of the other 18 British actors.
Sure. He was in V for Vendetta, Steve.
Uh-huh. Stephen Fry gets to guest star on this episode of Doctor Who, along with Lenny Henry, who you might not know. Lenny Henry is a very famous British comedian who really has some great acting chops in this.
Okay.
He plays the archetypal bad guy, the James Bond villain in this is Lenny Henry.
Maniacal laugh.
Uh-huh. And we meet O, who is an operative in MI6, who is an IT guy.
O.
Yeah, his name is O. He chose that name because every time he walked into C's office, C would say, "O, good." And so he chose the name O. O is the IT guy at MI6. He's the operative who's in charge of computers and things. He's played by Sasha Dewan, who played Waris Hussein, who was the first Doctor Who director when they did the movie about the making of Doctor Who, An Adventure in Space and Time, back in 2013.
Of course.
He is a spectacular actor, and he's here as the, you know, the nerdy IT guy who knows how to use the computers. He's got all the computer stuff that they need for this adventure. Mm-hmm. And then they go to his house, and in his house, he's got all sorts of conspiracy theories going on. He's the Fox Mulder character then, you know, the X-Files. He's the guy on the inside of the investigation who knows the truth. The
Nerd.
Truth is out there. Uh-huh.
Nerd.
And then the story makes the turn, and Sasha Dewan, I'm going to spoil this because the BBC has really, really gone ahead and spoiled this all week. Sasha Dewan is not just some nerdy guy. He is the master.
Dun, dun, dun.
The master is, for those of you who aren't paying attention to Doctor Who, he is the ultimate antagonist to the Doctor. Throughout Space and Time, for the entire series of Doctor Who,
he's the Palpatine.
The bad guy. The Palpatine who can't be killed, never is defeated, and is absolutely psychotic in his activity. He reveals at the end of episode 1 that he has been in communication with the Doctor for years, playing this character. And this is the big reveal of his master plan to take over.
And that is sets you up for the rest of the season, right?
Well, it sets you up for part 2 of Spyfall, which aired on Sunday night. And I'm not going to spoil at this point.
All right. So we'll be able to discuss that as the season progresses, right?
Huh? If this episode has any bearing on the rest of the season, this is going to be a great season of Doctor Who. I said it last week. I really didn't love season 11 of Doctor Who.
Okay.
The ideas were so small. The point was we are doing wrong things and we should be punished for our wrong choices. There was no giant, huge, big, serious crisis. This episode was a huge, big, serious crisis. I do look forward to the rest of season 12.
Well, Steve, you seem to have watched a number of series this week. You must be off work.
I must have been off of work this week, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, back to work today. But this week, yes, we got to see the entire season 2 of Lost in Space on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
This is really good 21st century storytelling. The idea of being lost in space and not knowing how to get to where you need and what you need. This is a very frustrating situation that the Robinsons find themselves in. And Dr. Smith is a very psychotic character who you can't trust at any point in this story. The robot is also a character that we're not sure that we can trust throughout this entire season.
Attention, Will Robinson.
Mm-hmm. Danger! Danger, Will Robinson! He does say that, and yes, we are concerned about the robot's well-being,
mm-hmm.
but he might be in league with all the other robots, because there's a whole series of robots that are in this season.
What is interesting is they are stuck on some planet, and Dr. Smith is going to work against them.
Mm-hmm. At every turn.
As they try to exit the it just makes no sense.
She is definitely a psychotic character who, yes, is not using logical sense, and she is acting on her own thoughts, and they do put her into a position where she can't do any harm, but of course they eventually let her out because that's how the storyline goes.
All right, so Steve, after you watch this, mm-hmm. do you have anything that, you know, potentially mm-hmm. could make AI,
uh-huh.
artificial intelligence, a little bit happier for us? Maybe our mum. Maybe our mum, Steve.
No, not at all. But I did watch a movie called I Am Mother. This is the story of a young girl who is born in a bunker in an Earth that has been destroyed, and she's being raised by a robot called Mother.
And this is on Netflix, too.
This is also on Netflix. We talked about this months ago when it came out, but this is the first time I had the chance to actually see it. The idea idea of AI being in charge, the idea of AI telling us what life is like and explaining the world to us is pretty frightening here.
And this is a dystopian type of story. The Earth is not existing the way it used to exist, Steve.
It is very dangerous to be outside of this bubble of this compound where this young lady is alone with this robot, and the robot is giving her lessons on how to be the best human available.
And she's sort of the last human on Earth.
Except for a huge, ridiculously large room full of human embryos that the robot tells her that she's going to be the mother to all of humanity. They're going to rebuild humanity from this supply.
So the robots are looking after us, Steve.
Uh-huh. Until the twist where Hillary Swank comes knocking on the door of the compound and the young lady says, but wait a minute, you said all of the humans were destroyed. Who is this? And Hillary Swank has a different story to tell than the robot.
Dun, dun, dun.
And the young lady does not know who to believe because the robot is shown to be lying to her about a few things.
What?
And so the adventure continues. This is a really good, dark, dystopic story about what AI can do and how AI can be dangerous, how we can trust AI only so far. When we're not the ones doing the programming, all sorts of things could be going on with AI. Welcome to 2020, by the way.
Oh, there you go. Steve, Netflix is not the only streaming service out there.
Yep.
Do you have another streaming service that maybe there's a show we should watch?
You know, we're in an age where it's not about the network anymore, it's about the program. So if you find a program that you want to watch, it might be valuable for you to sign up for a streaming service for a month to get through a whole season of a show. That's exactly what we did with the show Pennyworth. This is on the Epix channel, which is a premium cable channel that, since I don't have cable, I subscribed to it digitally for 1 month to watch the first season of this show. This is the origin story of Alfred Pennyworth, the butler in Batman.
To Bruce Wayne, Steve.
Bruce Wayne.
Mild-mannered.
Mild-mannered butler who was a former Special Forces soldier living in London and having adventures. And boy, is Alfred capable in this series. He is destroying people that are doing bad things. He's the good guy. He's the protagonist.
And he can make a great flan, Steve.
I'm sure he can. He has all the skills that he needs. This is a very adult version of Pennyworth's origin
this
story.
This is an adult film?
This has a lot of sexual situations. This has a lot of violence, a lot of blood, a lot of gore. There's a lot going on in this story of Alfred Pennyworth. He doesn't get along very well with Thomas Wayne. He disagrees with Thomas Wayne's choices a lot in
this.
Bruce Wayne's father. And Martha, Bruce Wayne's mother, who is not yet married to Thomas Wayne, she and Alfred share a moment.
Oh, really?
There is a moment that leads me to believe that what the storyteller, the writer here, is trying to tell us is that Alfred is there to protect Martha Wayne more than anybody else in the Wayne family. And when Martha and Thomas are killed, spoilers, Batman's parents were killed.
What? That doesn't show up in any origin stuff.
Spoilers. When they're killed, he feels like Bruce is his son because he has a real, true relationship with Martha Wayne, not Thomas Wayne.
Does he bleed?
There's so much blood. There's so much blood in this series.
So this is sort of a grown-up, maybe a late teenager type of story, maybe a little older.
I would say even older than late teenager. This really? Might be a college age. This is some high-level thinking about devotion, high-level thinking about military service and PTSD, and a lot of issues come into the series one. This has been greenlit for a second series. I do look forward to the continuing story of Alfred.
Okay.
The actor who plays Alfred here does a great Michael Caine impression. He sounds exactly like a young Michael Caine from the Batman movies where Michael Caine was Alfred. This is really good television. I recommend that you find $3 to throw at Epix for a month.
All right, so Eddie Murphy hosted Saturday Night Live's highest rated program in 11 years.
Uh-huh.
And
highly anticipated.
Now, a few months ago, he released a film mm-hmm. on Netflix called
Dolemite Is My Name. This is the story of Rudy Ray Moore, a comedian and rap pioneer, one of the first people to put together the idea of rhyme and music. Rudy Ray Moore, made a movie called Dolemite in the 1970s. And this is legendary, this movie.
All right, so he did it on a very low budget.
Very low budget, with very little knowledge of how to make a movie. This is a very independent film.
This was an inspiration for The Room, maybe later on.
This is exactly what Tommy Wiseau did for The Room. He decided he wanted to make a movie. Rudy Ray Moore is shown in this movie going to see Front Page, the movie from 1974 with Walter Matthau uh-huh. and Susan Sarandon and Jack Lemmon, and looking at that movie and not understanding why people liked that movie and deciding to make his own movie.
And just so everyone knows, Rudy Ray Moore is black.
Mm-hmm.
And so what he's basically saying is that the black audience wasn't understanding this humor.
The cultures were different.
And so what he attempted to do was maybe what Tyler Perry has done, is mm-hmm. created a studio to create, entertainment for the black community and other communities too.
Right. And that's what Dolemite was intended to be. It's a really bad movie. Dolemite is just as bad a movie as The Room is, mm-hmm. But 1970s style bad movie. They didn't know what they were doing. They didn't have
iPhones, Steve.
All right. They didn't know how to make a movie. They hired some people who knew a little bit about filmmaking, so they made this movie. It exists, 1975, but the story of making that bad movie is a really good movie, just like The Disaster Artist in 2017. That mm-hmm. story of Tommy Wiseau making The Room is a really good movie.
Well, because hi,
we
Steve.
See the we see the motivations of these people. Rudy Ray Moore had true passion. He mm-hmm. was a true entrepreneur. This is an American story about how you can make it, even if you have nothing but a dream. You can find a way to put together something and be proud of what you did.
Well, this looks like a very good movie.
This is really good.
All right. I look forward to seeing this.
I look forward to what Eddie Murphy is going to bring us for the next couple of years, because I think Eddie Murphy is on a comeback trail between this and his Saturday Night mm-hmm. Live appearance. I expect big things to be coming out of Eddie Murphy in the near future.
Well, he's a father of 10, Steve. He needs more.
Yeah, no doubt. You got a chance to see Never Surrender, a Galaxy Quest documentary.
Now, this came out the week of Thanksgiving mm-hmm. to Fathom Events.
One night only.
Now, it is released through iTunes and Amazon Prime. You can rent it now.
Mm-hmm.
And I had one of my favorite professors down at Ball State tends to watch Galaxy Quest quite a bit and always comments on it, and then everybody follows up the Facebook feed with their favorite quotes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the show must go on, Steve. Damn you. Anyway, this is a celebration of Galaxy Quest. You learn all about the back, I guess, how this movie came to be. You watched it through Fathom Events, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. I watched it this week, and it is truly, if you enjoyed Galaxy Quest or like old Star Trek shows, learning how this movie was put together and how they sort of re-put it together, because mm-hmm. it was set to be a much more grown-up film mm-hmm. with lots of swearing in it,
uh-huh.
and then they turn it to a family film because, Tim Allen.
because Tim Allen was so huge 20 years ago. This was the height of Tim Allen's popularity, right after the Santa Claus.
Sure.
And yes, he was a family film kind of actor, and so they decided to make this into a family film. This is almost a perfect movie. The Galaxy Quest movie is one of those movies that 20 years later, we're still talking about it.
And the film house that put out this film, mm-hmm. DreamWorks, certainly did not do this film in any honors mm-hmm. by giving it a proper advertising campaign. And too bad, because it certainly could have been, could have blown up to be maybe like Ghostbusters or something mm-hmm. of that at the time. It slowly became this cult film. And I would highly recommend, if you have not watched this film, Galaxy Quest, you should, uh-huh. because they put a lot of effort into it, and it is highly entertaining.
And if you have seen Galaxy Quest in the last 20 years, yes, or as many times as I've seen it in the last 20 years, you should look at this documentary. The director of this documentary, Jack Bennett, was on CF3 talking about this movie and the making of this documentary.
Okay.
He has hours and hours and hours of footage of the interviews that you saw in this documentary.
Okay.
Boy, did they edit this down to a reasonable story documentary in such a great way. I would love to see all that extra conversation,
sure,
but the way that they framed this documentary, this is one of those documentaries that I recommend to everybody. It has a beginning, a middle, and an end. It is a story in and of itself.
It truly is a historical document, Steve.
Historical documents. Just love that movie. 20 years later, and that movie resonates so well. Sigourney Weaver, Tim Allen, and the story.
They had such a great cast.
It's a great
cast.
And
they learned, they just played this so wonderfully.
And the documentary shows all of that wonderfulness.
And Sam Rockwell's interviewed in this too, and he was turning it down, and then he said, oh, I'll do it. Anyway, Green Mile came out right around the same time, and Rockwell was in that, so... You know, you got to have the comedy with the more dramatic.
Wonderful. I highly recommend that you go to your streaming service right now and look up Never Surrender, a Galaxy Quest documentary. You will not be disappointed. Also, I suggest that you go to Disney Plus, those of us who are paying into Disney Plus, because a lot of us are.
Sure.
I recommend that you find the show Encore, which we have not yet talked about.
Now, this was released with... the launch day of Disney Plus, and I kind of throw it on in the morning, kind of when I'm cleaning up, working around the house, or maybe I'm at the office and I need just something, you know, that's not offensive, certainly very joyful. Mm-hmm. Encore is, Kristen Bell is our producer, and the premise of this is really simple. At some point in the past, your high school put on a musical.
Right.
You are now 30 years later.
The best ones are 30 years later. The least favorite of mine are the 10 years later. But that span of time, stuff's happened.
Their moms, people have gotten sick, sure, accidents have happened, life has gone on.
Life has happened.
All right, anyway, they bring the cast back to recreate the musical they had on their year of high school. And all of a sudden, you know, they're putting on Annie, or they're putting on Grease, or whatever, Sound of Music, whatever that thing is.
And they're doing it in 1 week.
1 week, and so Disney brings in, of course, some people who are very capable.
The high-level producers, the Broadway musical choreographers and music directors, and they come together and they put this show back on stage.
And I think what's most touching about this is that when we go out in life, you know, maybe we didn't like that person in high school, or maybe we didn't know who we were at that time. And they come back, and you realize all people, what people really thought about you. They thought you were like the greatest person ever, or you rekindled that friendship of some point. You didn't realize the impact you had in a positive way on those people around you. And then if you were the person who didn't have a good relationship with the people around you, it's that time to apologize, and all of a sudden you're part of the team again.
That there's so many things in these stories that the adulthood has changed who we are, and that perspective, that looking back on who we were and comparing it to who we are, there's some great emotional moments in this show.
Incredibly good emotional. And it always ends with the production of that musical again. And the families out there, and you can see the moms and dads who are out watching their children, who are certainly are adults at this time, perform, and they remember who this person was. Is on the theater. I cannot help but think that there could be, you know, a summer camp for adults here in Chicago, where adults come and they do a musical, and they're only given a week to kind of put it together.
It's tough. It is really hard. They are blood, sweat, and tears in this show. Putting the show together in a week is very challenging.
Well, Steve, we've got plenty of theaters and libraries around. Yeah. And in addition to that, you know, people do have vacation they don't use.
Yeah.
And so, you know, getting 20 people together.
It's not easy, but it could happen.
Sure, and making it happen.
And this show.
Adult summer camp. I just created a business.
There you go. There's your business model. The idea of seeing these people go through this and the joy that this event brings them.
Oh, yeah.
I love putting on musicals at my school.
Well, as you're working with your cast right now, your middle schoolers, mm-hmm. who are nervous, who are overconfident and underconfident, mm-hmm. who are learning their materials, and it's really, you know, there's a lot of work that goes on. At the end of it, you know, the day after they did their final performance, they're a team.
Yeah, they're a family.
And they did it.
Yeah.
And that friendship sometimes doesn't go on to college experience, doesn't go on to your career experience.
Mm-hmm.
And reminding yourself of, you know, football players can't come back and recreate a football game.
Right.
It's just...
Married with Children. Remember when the Ed O'Neill character on Married with Children tried to rekindle his high school career?
No.
And he got all the guys together and tried to play football. It didn't work out well.
I want to say there was a Robin Williams movie where they went back and they played.
Uh-huh.
Well, anyway, the body's just not designed for that. Mm-hmm. I guess you could play old man basketball like I do at times. But what I'm talking about is, you know, you can redo a play.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, you know, obviously, time has passed just by,
mm-hmm.
and all this, you know, now you're doing Grease, and Grease has got all those great songs.
Very challenging music.
And one mm-hmm. of the nice things is they show the young person, you know, the videotape of it,
yeah.
and then they show the person doing it now.
Yeah.
I highly recommend this. It's
wonderful.
It's a joyful type of program.
I don't tend to like reality programs. I don't tend to like the game show atmosphere of some of those stories, but this really appeals to me. Those stories of who we are and who we were and that perspective of seeing ourselves through other people's eyes is a glorious moment for so many of the people in Encore.
All right, so last week we had one movie that was released, Steve, and we had all those holiday movies
yeah.
that were still hanging on. This week we get a full slate of new films.
Yep, the first one was called Like a Boss. This is Rose Byrne, Selma Hayek, Tiffany Haddish, all coming together to put together their entrepreneurial spirit, getting a business together, and seeing the stakes of what it takes.
Well, this looks like it's definitely going towards like a bridesmaid
yeah.
audience. All female.
Very slapstick. Very silly.
A comedy.
Comedy, yes.
Yes.
I look forward to this one. There's a very scary base under siege story this week called Underwater.
So in the old days, we'd watch Alien and you're out in space,
uh-huh.
the vacuum of space. Now you're 7 miles under the sea.
Same thing.
And something's happening, Steve.
Uh-huh.
And one of the sparkly people
oh,
has to get from one, they have to get a long way away uh-huh. to get back to the surface because there's an alien out there, Steve.
Yes. Kristen Stewart is the main protagonist of this one, and I'm sure her acting talent really comes into play because she said maybe two words in the trailer.
Totinos.
Line.
Totinos.
Line. Ugh, I do not like Kristen Stewart. TJ Miller's in there for comic relief, so we've got that going for us. This is a claustrophobic, you can't escape. What are you going to do? You're running out of oxygen. You have no options. How are you going to get out of this scary movie?
Steve, is there a movie with drugs and prisons?
Welcome to 2020. Yes. There's a movie called The Informer. This is an undercover ex-convict who gets himself put back into jail so that he can break up the mob and find the drug dealers and save the community center.
And the trailer starts off, you know, hugging family because
yeah.
that's what you want to do
yep.
before you have to go back to jail to break up the drug cartel. There we go, Steve.
Yeah, not one of my movies, that's for sure.
Dracul, Steve.
On the list of my movies, Netflix this weekend brought us the 3-episode miniseries Dracula, which was on BBC One on New Year's Day. This is created by Mark Gatiss and Stephen Moffat, the names, the creators of Doctor Who.
So it's like Doctor Who, but with vampires.
Scary, dark vampire Doctor Who episode. 3 of them. 3 episodes. They're on Netflix right now. There are some actors that you might recognize in this. Mark Gatiss, who is one of the creators, puts his face on there like he usually does. And Sacha Dhawan, who I just saw as the Master in the latest episode of Doctor Who, features into this new version of Dracula.
So is this classic or sparkly?
Ooh.
Or you know, kind of Anne Rice-ish, Steve.
This is very Anne Rice-ish. This is taking the myth of the vampire, which is an allegory for sexuality and addiction and disease, and featuring that allegory very prominently from the get-go of this Dracula.
All right, Steve.
Yeah.
I'd like to take the next film for 300, please.
Alex Trebek is the host of a show.
What is Jeopardy, Steve?
Good. That's right. Moving on. Yes, Jeopardy is hitting primetime TV tonight and for the next two consecutive nights on ABC. It is Jeopardy, the greatest of all time. The three Jeopardy champions are going head to head to finally, for once and for all, prove who's the best.
Oh, is Sean Connery going to be on this, Steve?
Alex Trebek.
I'll take Schwartz for 300.
No.
I'll take the rapist.
That's therapists. No, this is not Celebrity Jeopardy, but it kind of is, because James Holzhauer, Ken Jennings, and Brad Rutter are certainly celebrities now with their winnings on Jeopardy.
The ghost of... the ghost of Burt Reynolds will be there, Steve. Ha!
Trebek. I love that. God, I love that Celebrity Jeopardy stuff from Saturday Night Live. But yes, I love Jeopardy as well. Jeopardy, Alex Trebek is beloved. We know Alex Trebek, and he's in the throes of cancer.
So said her mother.
Thanks for ruining that moment. Alex Trebek is in the throes of cancer. He's fighting cancer and doesn't seem to be winning the battle at this point.
Well, he's certainly a very lovable person, mm-hmm. who's built a huge television audience. Mm-hmm. He's been the voice of Jeopardy for probably 30 years, yeah, or so, along with Pat Sajak on Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah.
So... amazing. He's no Snoop Dogg on The Joker's Wild, Steve. But so Alex Trebek, you know, this is, you know, counting down to his final episode.
This is his swan song. He's got a plan for how he's going to leave this position in our lives, and it's not happy to watch, but it's great that he has this ability.
It is part of life,
that's
though.
It.
And what is good entertainment? Well, Jeopardy.
Book it. Brings us to our book it. Our book of the week, you got a chance to read Conspiracy, Peter Thiel, Hulk Hogan, Gawker, and the Anatomy of Intrigue. This is by Ryan Holiday.
I was driving on a long drive, Steve, and I listened to this as an audible because I had my children in the car with me. And so I ended up getting through this book, and I was fascinated by this story. Are you familiar with what's going on here?
We've discussed this a couple of times, but explain it to us again.
All right, so Peter Thiel was outed as a homosexual through Gawker. Gawker used to be a site, and it was kind of a tabloid site. Mm-hmm. It certainly, it was very tabloid. So, it's
investigative reporting on, you know, topics that are maybe celebrities and risque sort of topics.
Well, certainly meant to be tantalizing.
Okay.
All right. So Peter Thiel, it certainly wasn't unknown to his close circle, mm-hmm. But Peter Thiel's an incredibly gifted and bright person. In fact, I watched an interview with him this week, and you can tell when a person's like truly a step above most humans as far as their grasp of knowledge, their ability to pull from different sources and then put it together in some way to be useful.
And one of the things he put together was PayPal, along with Elon Musk.
That was a company they mm-hmm. put together. But, mm-hmm. you know, he's an attorney, and he also is, he wants to be known as an incredibly gifted investor.
Right.
And so Facebook was started with money from him. And so based on PayPal and some of the other things that he's been working on.
Okay.
So Peter Thiel is a very serious person. And in fact, his whole life is very serious. Gawker is certainly meant to be something that you go, you can make fun of celebrities.
There's
make
an entertainment fun of, factor to it.
Sure. Yeah. You know, it was a National Enquirer, but a current version of it. Mm-hmm. And certainly it was of its time. Now, because of this, Peter Thiel said, this is wrong. And he put together a master plan to take down, and not just take it down, to destroy it.
Mm-hmm.
And he did. And to destroy the site and destroy the gentleman who owned it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the story of the gentleman who started Gawker, and the story of Peter Thiel and the master plan. Hulk Hogan had a tape that was released
mm-hmm.
that for many people is would not be an honorable tape.
Take your vitamins, kids.
No, that's
say your
right.
prayers.
For those who don't know Hulk Hogan, he was a wrestler. Probably all you uh-huh. Hulksters out there know him.
That's right.
So when this sex tape was released, Hulk Hogan ended up taking Gawker to court. Hulk Hogan's court case was being funded by Peter Thiel.
Mm-hmm.
This is, no one knew that at the time. And it ultimately did. It destroyed the website. It destroyed the gentleman who founded it. And while this is a story on one level of how extreme wealth can destroy, you know, wealth.
At will. If you have the resources, you can choose what things you want to promote and which things you want to destroy.
Well, you certainly have the resources to keep things going on. Companies do this in the sense that if you start a small business, they could just hammer you with legal claims.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, eventually you just give up because you just don't have you don't have unlimited money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Gawker had wealth. It had real value. But it certainly didn't have the wealth that Peter Thiel had behind him. And that certainly didn't have this plan. This is Machiavellian level
wow.
of destruction. And Thiel is brilliant. He is a brilliant person. This book is fascinating in the sense of how, you know, he slapped on this and he kept this, you know, churning on. He was looking for his opportunity. When I say he, Peter Thiel was looking for the opportunity. And when it came around, it just, you know, it was like a blade just, you know, right through the heart and just destroyed it. Fascinating story. Scary in one level.
Yeah.
Because wealth certainly has some scary parts to it.
Power.
And the power of
uh-huh.
it. And if you ever get a chance, go and listen to. I read Peter Thiel's 0 to 1.
Okay.
And it really was a fascinating book. And we read it last year. I've seen Thiel talk a number of times. Certainly a true intellect. And certainly a person who can use his intellect to change and sway the public. Thiel was born in Germany, but grew up in the United States. Certainly he has a pulse on the world, on how the world works, that may be above many of us on our simple levels. And I say that because I have many beliefs that I fall through, and I think I have a lot of knowledge about things. But there's no doubt that he is on a level above.
And we've talked about this so many times. Those people who are well-traveled have that perspective that can see things from different perspectives. German culture and American culture are certainly very different.
Well, I don't think he grew up in Germany.
But that culture that he comes from gives him a little bit of a leg up on thinking about perspective.
Well, I think that, one, he was just a brilliant guy.
Mm-hmm.
And two, his ability to read. There's no doubt. So if you had dinner with Peter Thiel, you're going to come prepared. Because he's going to start asking questions. And he's got a few set questions he presents to his dinner guests.
Okay.
And you are, seriously, you are to discuss.
Wow.
And he is so well-read. You know, he's pulling from different areas. And I've known a number of people like this. And they are absolutely fascinating to be around. I had a teacher of mine who, his books were like rags by the time he got finished with them. But his ability to draw from original works
mm-hmm.
and pull from 7 or 8 sources and bring them to the discussion, I mean, certainly is far beyond where most of us are.
Mm-hmm.
And all I can say is if there's something that you wish to specialize in, yeah, you there's a lot to study.
Study.
Fascinating a book. Ryan Holiday certainly outlined this very well, put together Thiel's plan. You get also the story from Gawker's point of view. And like I said, the guy was destroyed by Thiel. Anyway, fascinating.
Fascinating. Conspiracy, Peter Thiel, Hulk Hogan, Gawker, and the Anatomy of Intrigue by Ryan Holiday.
Scroll with it.
Don't forget, we've got a book discussion that's coming up in 2 weeks. Get your copy of my favorite book of 2019. It's called Recursion. It's by Blake Crouch. Read it along with us. We'll discuss it on January 21st.
And if you have questions that you'd like to have discussed during our discussion, just text them to us, send them to us, however you want to do that.
If you can do it with your voice, that would be great because it's a radio show and I would love to hear the sound of your voice. Leave us a message on the voicemail or record it and email it to us. I would love to hear all of your voices in 2020.
And Steve, if someone decided to not read this book, but kind of work it through Audible, is there something that could benefit them going forward?
Yes. Audible has rolled out their Audible Challenge 2020. All Audible members who finish 3 Audible book titles by March 3rd will automatically, without doing anything else but listening to somebody read a book to you, you will automatically receive a $20 Amazon credit.
And that could be worth maybe a single book. It could be worth more than one.
So I love Audible. I love listening to the narrators, the skill actors who are giving us these books.
Well, reading is one level, but sometimes you need to get through more material. You're on the treadmill, you're working out, you're on a walk or whatever that is. You're driving someplace. What a great time to plug in a book and read.
And get a little bit more information. That's the key. That's Peter Thiel. If you wanted to know more, study more. And using that time in the car to hear more information instead of music. I know people listen to music in the car. Ugh. I really, really recommend Audible. I really, really recommend Recursion by Blake Crouch. This is a really good book that I look forward to hearing your ideas in 2 weeks. I don't know, Chip. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think?
Only if we can come back next week, Steve.
I think we can. It's musical season, so we'll see. But hopefully. If you need more information, give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-410-4TMS. Our website is TooMuchScrolling.com. Our email is TooMuchScrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on Spotify and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And you can always ask your smart speaker to play the latest episode of Too Much Scrolling. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
And I'm not Barbara Walters.
This is 2020. We'll see you in the future. What I want to talk about is what I want to thank you for. What I want to thank you for. It means so very much to me without you. I would never see the light.
He's showing his O face.
Yeah. This is a wonderful storytelling. What is that? Is that naughty? Did you say something naughty? Staring at me. You're just staring at me, waiting for me to catch up. And edit.